On this month's Talk On to Walk On, we have decided to talk about something that we've been chatting about on most days in the last couple of months, in that the fact that it's 5 years since the start of lockdown. This time 5 years ago, we were all in that very surreal moment of having to stay at home, having to social distance. I don't think masks had been introduced by then, but suddenly we all had to become experts in Zoom calls. It was a crazy, crazy time. And what we thought of today was to go back to our roots a little bit. And we started to debate the topic of whether, since the pandemic and since lockdown, the art of conversation, as in face-to-face conversation, has disappeared. Our mission with this podcast is to encourage people to talk to each other way more. And that's the message we want to get out. So today's chat, we are going to reflect a little bit on before the pandemic, perhaps a little bit during, but more importantly, what's happened since.
And the question is, did COVID kill conversation in a way? And I think COVID had a massive impact on people's willingness and ability to have conversations with each other. You know, particularly when we were at home, social distancing, and suddenly technology started accelerating. So people got used to, as you've mentioned, Zoom calls. I think incidents of using Snapchat and so on increased. We got used to being on our own and not having face-to-face conversations. I think we were communicating, but no face-to-face conversations. And whether it was in the workplace, because we weren't all together at work having conversations, or at home, where we weren't really able to socialize face-to-face, it definitely, I think people over time got very used to not having those conversations. Yeah. And I believe it's had a long-lasting impact. And fast forward to today, and you read more and more in the media, particularly amongst young people, but also I think older generations as well have got used to staying at home, not socializing as much. But of course, it's impacting on the younger generation because they've got their lives ahead of them. They've got jobs to do. They've got work to, you know, employment to get and so on.
I think for us as midlifers, there was a lot of us who weren't under the stresses of what came with the pandemic. It was some relief. So if we go back a little bit before the pandemic, I'm certainly not saying burnout. I don't know the stats. I probably should have looked them up. But it was a crazy, crazy world. And it was so fast paced. Certainly for me personally, I actually left my job, my corporate role, in the January before lockdown. That's right. And I was having a few issues with my mental health. And I think a lot of people were, but we just didn't know how to handle it. We didn't know how to open up about it. We were in denial about it and we didn't know how to get off the wheel. And for certainly maybe for our particular midlife generation, for a lot of us, I definitely think it brought some light relief, as I use the phrase, permission to pause. So in that respect, I'm just going to get it out there that for me, it was a good thing. But at the same time, I did start to lose confidence because I'd packed my job in and we were starting the consultancy again, which we didn't get to do because lockdown came. I wasn't working. So yes, it was light relief. It was a relief. But then because I wasn't engaging outwardly, I went very inward. I then had to almost start again to build my confidence up. So, but for the younger generation, it was just part of their life growing up. So it's, I think it's definitely had a much bigger impact because we know before and after much more. And we're working to get that balance back. Whereas the younger generation, the Gen Z, as they call themselves, or probably alphas even now, that's all it was part of their growing up, wasn't it?
Yes. And a very sort of peculiar way, an unprecedented and probably never to be repeated way of getting through school, where school ended up being, you know, staying at home, exams were cancelled, you couldn't see your friends. But it was a very novel, it was a very, very novel time. Nobody had ever experienced anything like that before. But then as time went on, you could see that people's patience after 18 months, they wanted to get back to normal life.
But the world had to come out of the other side. And with that came a lot of adjustment, didn't it? And we've talked about how a lot of businesses and companies almost use it as an excuse to accelerate technology, or as an opportunity to accelerate technology, a lot of which meant reducing that face-to-face contact.
Mm. Yeah, all of a sudden we saw QR codes appearing on tables in restaurants and pubs. Yeah. So you could, and the thing is, they're still there today.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people don't use them. But the idea that you can scan the QR code, order your food arrives, you don't have to even exchange words with the server, your food arrives, and that whole transaction has happened without any sort of conversation. And then self-service checkouts in supermarkets, they've accelerated and they've stuck. The majority of people don't like them. Mm. The majority of people don't like QR codes on tables. But all these are little, you've mentioned Zoom. There are all sorts of technologies involved in ultimately saving costs for corporations, but that have the effect of cancelling conversation.
Yeah. Meaningful conversation.
Yes.
Through eye contact. Mm.
Body language. Yeah, you know, smiling, pleasantries, all sorts of things which are very, very important for the social human being.
I remember a story during lockdown, of which there were many, but this particular one did stand out. And it was an old man who, with the mask on, I mean, again, we don't have to wear masks anymore. But he said it was about going to the supermarket. Mm. And it was the highlight of his day. And I think you've mentioned something.
Yeah, with my dad.
You missed the smile. You missed that human connection and contact. Mm. And your dad was the same, wasn't
he? Yeah, my dad passed away 2 years before lockdown and COVID. But he would have really suffered because one of the things he enjoyed about going to the supermarket was those few words of exchange with the person on the till.
Yeah.
And that meant he lived alone. That meant a lot.
Yeah. And moving into the world of work and the Zoom calls and the hybrid working that we've got used to now, yes, you have to acknowledge work-life balance and there are positives that come with that. But again, we talk about, you learned so much when you were in the office. You learned so much from your peers. You learned so much from just listening to other people around you. You built your confidence by going for a coffee and offering your colleague a coffee and having a chat. I think they call them water cooler conversations, in America. And it's where sort of creativity sort of is sparked and, you know, innovation, creativity, confidence, connection, all those things that
camaraderie, teamwork.
And we're not saying, I think it's coming back. I do think that people, and certainly the younger generation, I think it is a different conversation, whether it's our generation or the younger generation. And I do think the younger generation in particular are craving that more, that instinctive.
Yeah.
It's human nature to be connected.
And I think that's why hybrid working has sort of, and that even that term has come in, because generally businesses and companies wanted their employees to come back to the office.
Yeah.
This idea of working from home Monday to Friday became unacceptable. But, and also surveys showed that the majority of employees also wanted that interaction at work, and they missed that working from home, but they didn't want to come back for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So this idea that you could work from home for a couple of days and maybe go into the office for 3 days has come up.
Yeah.
But then those 2 days that you might spend at home, people are still getting quite lonely in a way there. And this idea of co-working spaces and
is evolving.
They're cropping
again
up everywhere in cities.
Yeah, no, that is interesting.
But you know what? One of the funny things, you were saying that back in 2019, you left your work just a couple of months before the pandemic struck. In the January. And it was 1 week after lockdown, I actually started a new job.
That's right, yeah.
And 1st of April 2020, I started a new job.
Fool's Day.
That's right. I should have guessed something was up.
You couldn't write it, could you?
And for the first 4 or 5 months, I think I only met one person
Unbelievable.
Normally when you start a job, you know, you go in, you have your induction, you're given your laptop and all of that, and you make sure it works and your emails are set up. None of that was done. That was all done remotely and took an age. I didn't meet anyone. And after a while, when we did start going back into the office, I couldn't remember the people I'd met in real life and the people I'd only ever met over Zoom or over Teams.
And for you as a leader, and you are a hands-on, you know, leader. I'm trying to find the right phraseology because people have different leadership styles, but you're very much people person leadership style. It just wasn't for you, was it? You hated it. Absolutely hated it. And you just couldn't get your head around it, could you? You'd go into the other, well, we had an office. We've since built this one. But that was my office and that became your office. And you just would go in there and I could just see you were totally out of sorts with it.
I still don't like virtual meetings over Zoom. I never think they're as effective as
definitely not.
Real life meetings.
No, I would defy anyone to come up with a stat that says that it's better than
I did that job for less than 2 years.
Yeah.
And even at my leaving party, there were people that due to COVID, I was meeting for the first time. I met them for the first time at my leaving party.
Insane, absolutely nuts. But again, coming on to Gen Z and the younger generation, we've had the experience of Hannah going to work and Maima going to work in London. Hannah, we've had more experience of because she's closer in geographically, and with Adidas that we were absolutely adamant drilling it into her. And to be fair, they were too, and I think she was. So everyone was on board that the more she went in, the more she would gain from that placement. I know her boss at the time was very much into that connection and communication. So I do think it depends on management style.
And the culture of the organisation.
The culture, yeah.
And if it's one that is very transactional with lots of work being done by people sitting in their cubicles. A call center, for example. Call centers are well known, but lots of people were continuing to do their work from home. But somewhere like Adidas, you can tell that the culture is very much teamwork, communication, talking, and so on.
And she thrived in that environment without a doubt, and her confidence grew off the scale.
The opposite of that, when you're not going to work and having to communicate through virtual meetings, Zoom, Teams, whatever. You can't have conversations. You can't have proper
ones.
And the more people, if you've got four or five people on that screen, you can't have proper conversations. As the body language, being able to, nobody should ever really talk over, but you naturally do politely interrupt in real life, face to face. You can't do any of that. In a way, it would end up being a bit of a free-for-all.
I've done a few online talks. Obviously, I often knew the host, and we'd be having a bit of a banter. So one-to-one, it wasn't too bad. But as soon as other people came in the room, I was really self-aware of how I was engaging. I didn't know. I mean, it is. I'm trying to compare it to the talk I did last week when it was in the spine in Liverpool, when there was probably about 80 people and it was face to face. But then after I'd done the talk, people were coming straight up to me. And I suppose there's good and bad in that afterwards I got met from the online talks that I've done. I've had messages, but a lot of it gets lost and that connection gets lost as soon as I've come offline. Whereas what happened last week was I'm slowly getting through and building those connections that I made at that face-to-face event. And we instantly got more likely to get clients from that, aren't we?
And
which comes from building trust through face-to-face.
Yes. And aren't face-to-face meetings so much better for engagement?
Yeah.
So much better than likes or comments on social media because it is real human engagement.
Yes, but the way of the world is now, you can't deny that people are building their businesses online. I mean, I'm trying to do it a little bit, but it's alien to me. It's not, doesn't come natural to me. I'm trying to work out the technology of it. I know I've got to embrace some of it, but I'll be honest, I dip in and out of it. I know we need to be more consistent online, but for us, it's about this, isn't it? And face to face still. Yes. That's our go-to. That's our instinct. You know, we very often get fed up with the technology that comes with running an online business. Mm.
And if you're going to distinguish between conversation, which is what we're talking about, and simply communication, when you're talking about social media and this word engagement, it isn't a conversation. So it's a comment. You know, you're commenting on a post, so you're coming. So very rarely does the does it turn out into a conversation. You might get a reply.
Yeah, it does
if you're
not
lucky.
Often go beyond two or three comments if you're lucky, like you say.
And even if it's a if it's a company or a business that's posted, they might reply, but you can see they just get bored. You know, if there are like 100 comments or 200 comments by people, you might see that they replied to the first half a dozen and then just stopped.
Yes.
That's technology and social media, but it can't replace a proper conversation.
Because I think we need to come back to that personal connection and that building of confidence of having your voice and being not afraid to speak, not afraid to say how you're feeling, a lot of which, again, I worked on during lockdown myself. I almost went, my confidence went down, and I've had to build myself back up again. Mm. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people think that I'm naturally confident, but I'm not. Mm. I'm not, and most people aren't. And I think to reconnect with that art, I think it is an art of conversation, is so important. We've got to get the basics right, because if you don't get the basics right of having good quality face-to-face conversation, you just go in on yourself. And the more you go in on yourself, the more the things that are bothering you, the more it could be extreme, it could be something little, it can just get bigger and bigger and bigger if you don't talk to somebody about it.
You can't maintain or build relationships without meaningful conversation. And those relationships, I'm talking about at home or at work, you can't build those relationships without conversation.
But if it's not happening often enough with a variety of people, I do think you lose confidence without a doubt. Mm. And things that are genuinely upsetting you become more difficult to articulate. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
and problems
absolutely.
Just become bigger if you're losing that art of conversation and knowing how to express vocally how you feel.
And I think that there are a significant minority of people who, even since lockdown, they haven't they retreated in on themselves for a variety of reasons. And they need help to reemerge and to get that confidence up and to understand how important it is to be able to talk, to articulate what your emotions are, how you feel about things, your wants and your desires and so on.
It was one of the reasons behind the podcast, this podcast.
The power of conversation.
The power. I mean, it's talk on to walk on. I mean, a lot of people are like, talk on, walk on, walk on, talk on. What is it? But, we've often toyed with changing the name, but we're like, do you know what? Yeah. It's the whole point of it is you talk to each other to move forward with a view to moving forward and growing in life, in confidence and expressing how you're feeling. You're much more likely to go for what you want. Mm. That's the essence of it. The power of conversation underpins, we like to think, everything that we do. It's a bit of a value of ours, isn't it? How does this reflect in our life chats, especially with our guests, which we are going to bring back because it came back. This is reminding me how important it is to listen to people's conversations about their conversations that help them move forward in their life to pursue their dreams. So they are going to come back. But that's why this podcast started. I knew that during lockdown, my confidence was dying. And I knew to get it back, I had to keep talking to people, not just Paul Patrick and Hannah, about some of the stuff that I was really interested in. I knew I had to have variety, and that's where the podcast sort of idea came from.
And also you need to talk about the Clubhouse app as well, because the Clubhouse app became a global phenomenon, didn't it?
Yeah, a lot and of people don't know that, about it, though.
That was evidence that people were desperate to talk to each other.
Yeah. So we ran a room, didn't we, called Talk On To Walk On, and I think you may have heard us talk about it before. It was an audio app, and I wasn't that confident in other people's rooms. I wasn't that confident to speak up because I was, I'll be honest with you, struggling at that time with various things that I was dealing with personally. But I was obsessed with listening to these rooms and listening to people share their stories and seeing the impact and power of that. So therefore I started my own room in the app, and we just made it really simple, didn't we? We asked very simple questions to attract people to come in. How has your week been? How has there been a highlight? What does being on time mean to you? What does confident mean to you? And we have people coming in from all over the
world. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we made real connections with that. Again, it wasn't face to face though, but it was meaningful conversations because we made time for it, didn't we? We didn't hurry people up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worked very, very well.
Yeah.
And sometimes we had
Walk on Wednesday, it was called. 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. We should bring it back.
Did we have Thirsty Thursday?
No, we were very thirsty at the end of it, though.
Finally Friday.
We had a few gin and tonics after.
No, but sometimes we on average had, let's say, a dozen people. Sometimes we had two or three people in the room. Sometimes we had between 15 and 20 in the room.
Yeah. So from the Philippines, from Canada.
Yeah.
Africa,
the Americas, Europe, Africa.
So people were craving conversation, weren't they, and connection. And I think that was very much where we were like, okay, you know, people are lonely out there, and we do need to keep connection and conversation at the forefront of our minds and our day when we're planning our day and planning our time. It sounds really obvious and basic, but I do think sometimes we need to make sure that we are prioritizing who am I going to be having a good conversation with today? If it's not today, tomorrow. Or during the week. And obviously you're going to have conversations with people who might drain your energy, might, you know, zap you of your sort of joie de vivre or your, you know, your enthusiasm. So if that's happening, be aware of it and make sure that you seek out those people who build you up, that you can give something back to, and that you can walk away from feeling, do you know what? I really enjoyed that conversation. I got something from it.
Yeah. And you know, what one of the benefits of those people who are back in offices is that they do have that opportunity thrown at them every single day.
We are in this habit of actually just messaging on our phones, aren't we? And talking on our phones. And I know we've spoken to Hannah about this. We asked her about Snapchat, and I see her talking a lot on with her friends. And we asked her the question.
Communicating a lot.
Communicating. But no, they do. They talk.
Oh, that's true. Voice notes. Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Never get to hear what she's saying. There's always some little drama or something going on. But we said to her, are you more likely to see your friends? Would you be more likely to make arrangements to see them if you didn't have this ability to walk around? And they don't. It's not a phone call. It's Snapchat. I'm not on Snapchat, but it's a bit like a voice note, isn't it? I do use voice notes now and again on WhatsApps and stuff. But this is more instant conversation. And she said definitely. She would definitely make more of an effort. And she thinks her friends would, as we had to, if they didn't have this instant backwards and forwards. And also the other point that she made, then she said, well, I've got 15 notifications from Amelia or Elle or whatever, because Hannah's been studying today. And I said, but you've almost missed the moment then, haven't you? You've got to go back. I couldn't cope with that. Listening back to a conversation that I wasn't a part of.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's what they know. It's how they communicate. Yeah. But the point is, she did say if they didn't have this mechanism, she thinks that they would make more of an effort to actually see each other and have face-to-face conversation.
Yes, but they do have the mechanism, so they don't.
So they don't?
Yes, and that's it. Yeah. That's where...
Because it's a habit, isn't it? We're all developing these new habits of just, oh, do you know, I'm just going to send them a message. Oh, I'm not going to read that text message just now. I'll read it later. Yeah. We're all sort of... we talk about protecting our energy now. Again, we're much more aware. Again, we've talked about that. We've advocated that, protecting your energy. But at the same time, how far do you go with that?
Yeah.
To the, you know, to the point where we're no longer, where we can have a meet up and have a face-to-face conversation with someone over a coffee. We'll just message them, kick it into the long grass.
Yeah. And also, and I don't know when this came up, this idea that phoning somebody, let's say out of the blue, unannounced and not prearranged, is an intrusion. because I sometimes feel that. I think I'm slightly better than you in terms of saying
feel what?
The idea that it might be an intrusion.
Oh, you don't phone people.
Yes. Okay. But only a little. Only I think I only feel that a little bit.
You love it when your phone rings.
Because very few people phone each other. As long as I know what the number is, I don't answer the phone if an unknown number comes up.
But for example, my mate, I think she'd happily admit as a Gen Z that she doesn't like to take a phone call. Mm. But when she phones, but that, I think she is aware that she does, that you love her to phone you. Mm. And so every now and again, she'll go, must phone my dad. And she'll phone you and your face lights up. And she now knows that. And I think as she's getting older, I think she'll get better at that. Mm.
But I agree. And I think that's probably might be peculiar to her because she has no problem with having telephone conversations, which brings us on to the issue that younger people within the Gen Z age range, and I'm not just saying this as an old middle-aged person looking down on the younger generation. No, it comes out in surveys and statistics. They find it a significant minority feel very uncomfortable proactively answering a phone call and then having to speak on the spot or make phone calls to people that they don't know. And that is amongst employers a real problem.
I'm trying to think back to when I was their age and I do remember being not frightened to talk on the phone because we grew up with it, didn't we? You know, telephone conversation. But when I was in the office environment, if it was something I didn't know anything about and the phone would ring and there'd be people around me, I remember going, oh, but I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to go, hello. And even just say, I'm not sure if I can help you right now, but let me find out. You learn key phrases very quickly. Yeah. And let me take a note of your name. I'll find out and do my best for you and call you back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, isn't it? But
yes.
I don't remember. I remember having that feeling once, but not much more after that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's become a bit more ingrained. I think, as you said, the stats are showing that young people are really struggling with the idea of having a telephone conversation. Mm-hmm. But they talk into Snapchat, so I don't understand why.
But that's firstly that's their friends, and secondly, it's small talk, isn't it? It's not having a conversation about, let's say, a serious matter to do with work or being a customer or
But that you do learn that once you get a job.
You do, of course, you do. Yeah, of course you do. But you know, the stats show that they are particularly nervous as a generation.
Yeah,
so much so that they're actually running courses now to help young people feel more confident about a whole range of issues about being, you know, getting prepared for a life of work.
Yeah, so funny, where there's a problem, there's always an opportunity, isn't there? Maybe that's something we should do. You know, I would actually be quite passionate about that because, you know, I love young people and I reckon we can easily get them speaking, don't you?
I do, absolutely, but
they probably wouldn't listen to us. We're not cool enough.
We would have to run face to face courses,
and they probably wouldn't turn up.
They wouldn't turn up. We would lose a heap of money. Wouldn't make anything out of it. And that's why
give back. That's all we seem to do.
That's why so many training courses now are delivered online. That they're written.
Oh, that's a joke.
Pre-recorded.
So you're teaching somebody how to become more. And a more of an effective communicator.
Yeah,
conversationalists online.
Yes, it is absolutely ridiculous. Here's an online tutorial as to how to have conversations with people.
It just baffles the mind, doesn't it? But I could see, totally get that happens.
Yes. I do remember that this one particular course I was reading about, it did have a sort of a little caveat saying that even though this course is going to be delivered online, they did expect participants to occasionally interact in person with others.
Wow. You know, I think it's a message to anybody listening to this, and it's probably midlife is our age, so we are probably preaching to the converted. However, I think we need to be mindful with our young adults to encourage that, encourage conversation, encourage them to go and meet their friends, encourage them to put themselves in uncomfortable environments, to challenge their communication skills. You know, I mean, hospitality, I always come back to Hannah, but she's worked in hospitality and done various jobs as soon as she could work. And it was the best thing. I mean, she'd done some performing arts, which again, I'm a big advocate for as a young girl. You know, anything you can get your kids involved with at a young age to build that conversation, confidence is key. You know, and if they can get a job, you know, I know it's not greatly paid. I know the hours are long. I know it's difficult. But it was one of the best things Hannah ever did for her confidence. If you're front of house
hospitality, you're dealing with you're having to communicate and have conversations with customers and your work colleagues. It's about teamwork. It's about conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Dealing with difficult people. Yeah. Good for your brain in terms of your maths and so on. Having to be polite. Yeah, brilliant. The list goes on and on and on in terms of grounding it is.
And she won't mind me saying this: spilling a pint over a customer. But she had to get on with it, you know, and actually they were really lovely about it, and she actually got a nice tip, but she remembers it, and it was that moment, and she had to deal with it in a conversational, polite way. Obviously apologize,
obviously,
well, yeah, but you know, it was an accident, but it's that, oh, I'm so mortified. But it wasn't the end of the world. And she learned that it wasn't the end of the world. And that failure, for want of a better phrase, if you could describe it as that, it was an accident, but she could felt it could have really knocked her confidence. But actually, the outcome built her confidence. So don't be afraid of putting yourselves in these positions. Things go wrong all the time. And if you can articulate and smile and have eye contact and... it will get you out of many a scrape.
Life. You've got to have that conversation, and you know it's as we were saying, it's not just people in their 20s, Gen Zs, 30s, goes all the way through midlifers. This is all we're talking about: the power of conversation. It's about getting out there, meeting up with people, talking, communicating, and all the great things that come from that.
Yeah. I always remember you saying it again in your leadership role, but it applies to us all. There is very little that can't be solved with a face-to-face conversation.
That's right. Can't be moved forward.
Walked on.
Yes, that's right. Moved forward.
Even if you disagree, you can move things forward. Yeah. You know, without breaking a relationship, can't you?
Whereas in emails or text message, there are a lot of examples of where things can actually get worse through miscommunication, misinterpretation, and so on.
Phone someone up, arrange to meet. Don't backtrack. Make it a non-negotiable. Don't find an excuse not to meet up, and keep talking to each other because you never know where it'll lead. Is that a good place to end?
That's a great place to end.
Let's talk on to walk on and let's see where it leads. Indeed. Keep talking to each other, everybody, in this new hybrid world.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Michelle and Patrick. If you like what you heard and want to know more, then please go to our website at talkontowalkon.com. But as we advocate, you can't beat a conversation. So please do get in touch via our Instagram, which is talkontowalkon, and send us a direct message. We'd love to hear from you. We are rubbish at asking for support, but we're asking you now. If it's not connecting immediately, but you want to give something back, then just subscribe to our YouTube channel or share the podcasts and our content with friends and family. We know that if we keep going and we hit one person each time we create some content, then that's a win for us. But we know that we need to share the love more, and we're asking you to help us on that mission. So let's connect. Let's talk. If you think we can sprinkle some fairy dust on your life or your business or that of your team, then let's talk. Let's talk on to walk on, and let's see where it leads.